Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brian Fielkauer is here. Brian is a new friend, and I shouldn't say a new friend. He's been with us before on the show. He's the president of Jetco Delivery. He's the author of a couple of books, including a new one, Driving to Protect Perfection, Achieving Business Excellence by Creating a Vibrant Culture. And he's here to talk to us about the role of the CEO. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, especially in the development and the maintenance of the culture of a company. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back, and congratulations on your two books. So, as you know, I think one of the things that I've been harping on with my audience now for a long time is trying to get them to realize that they are the CEO of their company. Now, you've got a pretty good sized company. You've got a company that's easy to drop into the CEO assignments because there's enough of those to do. But back when you were a smaller company, you probably remember when it was a little more difficult to differentiate between the manager and the CEO, right?
Sure, and you know, at some size, you know, in your evolution, you're doing both. I mean, you're the CEO, you're the COO. You know, you're performing some frontline roles, and you know, as the company grows, it becomes more important, I think, to focus on your roles as a president than the CEO. But you have to have that mindset, I think, no matter what size company, that you are the owner, you are the CEO, and regardless of the size of your company, you know, your employees and your customers are counting on you for CEO level leadership. It has nothing to do with company size.
And so, what did you do? How did you make the transition from manager to allocating time and resources to giving you the ability to spend time in the CEO roles? How did you do that?
Well, the first thing I did was, you know, I identified somebody in our company who I thought had the ability to come in as our president and basically take over a lot of, you know, the operations responsibilities
right.
of the company. And, you know, so in my mind, it was definitely a promote from within strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted somebody that the rest of the team would know and accept as opposed to bringing an outsider in. But I had to have a clear vision. It wasn't just about, you know, my title. It was about what do I want to do
and
what's best for the company. And in my case, what I found was that, you know, you can't provide extraordinary customer service if the operations aren't working well. And I found myself getting drawn in to the operations and dealing with growing pains and dealing with service and continuous improvement. You can't ignore that. But what it did is it made it less, I was able to get out less. So my vision for the CEO role, again, wasn't so much, you know, the title as it was saying, I need to get out there. I need to be on the outside building the business, listening to the customers. And it got to the point where, you know, just I couldn't do both. I couldn't be effective on the outside and the inside. So it was a clearly defined strategy going
right.
in. You,
and of course, that, and a lot of that was driven. A lot of that was driven by scale, and you had more CEO type jobs. Those jobs became more self evident, didn't they?
Yeah. And also, you know, Jim, personally, I think a lot of us spend time mulling over our weaknesses, the things that we're not good at. And I think what we have to do is look in the mirror and instead define what we're good at and then associate ourselves with people
mm-hmm.
who compliment us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I could spend the next 10 years trying to become an expert at using excel, and I don't think I'd be any better than I am today. So I associate with people who are very good at data, at analytics, and that lets me focus on the areas where I'm good. So that was kind of, in our case, the president-CEO transition, but it doesn't have to be president-CEO. It's more the state of mind than it is the actual title.
What's the headwater of the culture of a business? Is it the founder? Is it the CEO? Is it the president? Is it the rank and file folks? What's the headwater of that?
Well, the culture has to be leader driven and employee owned. It's both.
Say that again, folks. This is going to be on the test. Say it again.
Say it again.
Say what you just said again. I want you to repeat that.
Sure. In order for a company's business to have a successful culture, it has to be leader driven. And employee-owned.
Leader-driven and employee-owned. That's going to be on the test. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Brian.
So, you know, my role as the leader is to be sure that we're operating from a well-defined set of values, that we don't compromise those values, especially when times are difficult. That's when it's easy to throw your values out the window. But the real challenge is to be sure you've got frontline engagement. Because, you know, a value statement put up on the wall is really a bit of a waste of time. You've got to embody those values. You've got to live them. You've got to teach people how to live your values, set expectations, reward excellence, and coach and counsel, and maybe have consequences for people who don't live the values. Because your culture is nothing more than the convergence of the right people, the right process, working in harmony. And for you to really succeed, nobody can be out of line with that formula of the right behaviors, the right people, and the right process. It's up to you as the CEO to be sure that's happening at every level of your organization.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is an example, folks, another example of how, at least for part of the time, you have to become the CEO of your business because there are jobs to do that the CEO can only do. And one of the things that I tell smaller companies than yours, Brian, is fire yourself from jobs that you don't have to do anymore and promote yourself to jobs that only you can do. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it really goes back to playing to your strength. I mean, you know, you took the risk. You started a company. Maybe you acquired one. And I never look at the size of the company, because in my mind, you know, small stature is a virtue. Small thinking is the kiss of death.
Exactly. So, hold on to that thought, Brian. I got to take a quick break. The book is called Driving to Perfection by Brian L. Fearcow. When we come back, I'm going to ask Brian to talk to us about the state of the trucking industry.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.